Well, good afternoon, everyone. Well, you don't have to be in the body of Christ for very long without someone inevitably asking you the same sort of questions. So those questions might be, where did you go to the feast? Or where are you planning to go for the feast? How long have you been in the church? How were you called into the church? Etc., etc. And one of those common questions that's often asked, has been asked to me many times, is, what is your favorite book of the Bible? Well, I have lots of little favorites. I have my favorite book, of course. I have my favorite story, maybe even my favorite passage. But you know what one question is that you don't get asked all that often? What is your least favorite part of the Bible? Well, let me be the first to ask you that question. What is your least favorite part of the Bible? Do you have one? Maybe a least favorite book or least favorite section? And spoiler alert, I do, actually, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. My least favorite book of the Bible is actually Proverbs. And that may be surprising to some because it is a favorite for many. But for me, it just never in the past really resonated with me. And I think the reason for that is because sometimes some passages in Proverbs can be overly optimistic. Often seems like it is too black and white. Let's look at two examples of this. Let's jump into Proverbs chapter 11 and go to verse 27 first. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 27. Again, that's Proverbs 11, verse 27 and 28. He says, "He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage." Let's back up a few chapters to Proverbs 6, verse 12 through 15. Proverbs 6, 12 through 15. "A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eye. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy." Well, we know from real-world experience that this is not always the case. Now, these are solid principles, of course, but they don't always paint the complete picture. There are too many exceptions. Those, maybe, that follow God's way of life aren't always, at least in this current life, blessed or vindicated or saved from all their problems. And likewise, those that are evil and wicked don't always get their comeuppance. Now, obviously, we know that this fits within a framework of principles, but even so, this is the reason why I always found it hard to apply this book into my life consistently and fully. Well, today, I'd like to introduce a concept to you that has been of assistance for me in this area. I'd like to look at the book of Proverbs in a slightly different context. Instead of reading it as a standalone book all by itself, let's combine it with some of its companion books also nearby. As you already know, the Old Testament can be grouped and broken down into several different ways. A very common way to do it is in the three groupings. We have the Torah, or the Pentateuch, and the Law at the beginning. We have the prophets, the minor and the major prophets. And then thirdly, we also have a section called the Writings. And even within these sections, you can break them down and rack them and stack them in different ways. But within the Writings, we have a section called the Wisdom Literature. And this grouping includes Proverbs, and includes Job, Ecclesiastes. Sometimes it includes some Psalms and the Song of Solomon. But for the purposes today, I'd like to look at it from the core group of Proverbs, Job, and Ecclesiastes. And the concept I'd like to put forth today is that Proverbs, Job, and Ecclesiastes are three ways of looking at the same issue. And when you combine them together, you deal with the same subject more holistically, and you have each one of the books balancing out the other. And today, or together, they work with one another to paint a more complete picture. Well, one of the core ideas in all three of these books is how to live what's called the good life, how to have a happy, successful physical life. But again, all three of these books come at it from a different perspective. So for a moment, let's think of these books in terms of a person. Let's kind of give them a personification. Proverbs we'll think of as a brilliant young teacher. This teacher is very smart and has answers to almost all scenarios you can come across. And the teacher supposes that God is wise and just, and that he ordered the world so that righteous are rewarded and the wicked are punished. And there's a very linear progression. Good equals good and bad equals bad. And that fits in very well with the scriptures we read earlier. Now, by contrast, Ecclesiastes is a middle-aged, sharp critic. His point of view is that life isn't always fair. Life is unpredictable, hard to comprehend. It's hard to grasp, almost like trying to grasp smoke. The critic wants to turn that same narrative and flip it upside down. Let's notice an example of this in Ecclesiastes 9. Ecclesiastes 9, we'll read verses 11 and 12. Ecclesiastes 9, 11 and 12 says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happened to them all. For man also does not know this his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. So now we have kind of these two points of view. We have the optimistic young teacher and we have the somewhat pessimistic critic, and they're really both giving the opposite sides of the same coin. And by doing so, it really opens the door to our last party guest, so to speak, and that is Job. Now, in our last personification, let's picture Job as this weathered old man that has seen a lot. He's been through a lot. He's dealt with a lot of tremendous trials. And in his mind, or in my mind rather, I picture him as like this chiseled fisherman that has just been through a lot of different storms. Now, we're not going to recount the book of Job or the story, but we remember that it starts out, Job has this wonderful life. He's really living the example of Proverbs, where he's good and things are going well. And then he has everything taken away from him. And in his mind, it seems very random. And it seems like it echoes Ecclesiastes' point of view. And then when it's all said and done, he's twofold above where he was when it all started. Now, in the end, Job becomes a person that realizes no matter what happens, good or bad, he can trust in God's wisdom. Now, each book of the Bible in this wisdom literature trilogy, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job, can completely stand on their own. Each book has important lessons and meanings within our lives today. Of course, I don't want to overlook those principles or diminish the value of each one of those books on their own. But there is great value in bringing all three together. The teacher in Proverbs says that everything's in order. Good happens to good people, and bad happens to bad people. Therefore, you should fear the Lord and keep his commandments. The critic in Ecclesiastes says that nothing's in order. Bad things happen to good people. Evil things can sometimes happen to good people. And evil people can get away with things that they shouldn't. Time and chance happens to everyone. And therefore, as a result, you should fear God and keep his commandments. And Job sets the stage that God is so far above our mortal man that we can't even begin to put ourselves at his level. He operates on a completely different plane than we do. And as a result of this, we should fear the Lord and keep his commandments. Three different books, three different points of view, three different concepts, but all pointing back to a same consistent theme, to fear the Lord and keep his commandments. For that truly is the wisdom of the books called the wisdom literature. Well, in conclusion, some people can really relate to Proverbs, and it really does have a lot of great depth of wisdom and does provide insight to a number of our areas of our everyday lives. You could turn back there and go to almost any topic you can think of, your friends, your work ethic, relationships, etc., etc. But for me personally, I've always had a hard time taking this individual book and trying to fit it into my life as a whole. and not just pick and choose individual passages. I could never find the place for a book that seemed overly black and white to fit within the observations I had in everyday life. But if you take the combined books of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job and combine them to form three different perspectives on the same topic, then I believe you can increase the value of all three books beyond what they would be individually. And for me, that made a big difference and helped bridge the gap. Well, living and experiencing a good life, so to speak, is such a nuanced subject that those three different perspectives, each highlighting a different viewpoint, really do aid to us, help give us what we need as readers. The book of Ecclesiastes ends on a famous section of scripture. Let's go back there. It's Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Well, next time you head over to Proverbs, I encourage you to maybe take a step back this time and package all three of those books together as one single unit. And together with all three, you'll get a more complete picture from three godly vantage points.